This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We're also increasing tech.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. It is a day when President Biden did something he almost never does, which is he showed up on time. I know, really, this has been a problem. Of course, it's true in the Trump presidency, too. A president very late for his appointed time. But this press conference, long awaited, very significant, where the president just started speaking, pointedly on time. He began by talking about some of his accomplishments and the infrastructure bill and the tremendous increase in people who have been vaccinated. There were, he said, when he became a president, very few vaccinations. Only 2 million Americans had been fully vaccinated. Of course, vaccines had just come into distribution, and now over 200 million Americans are fully vaccinated. He continued to emphasize that is the way out of Omicron. And here is the president talking about some of the challenges ahead. If you have a strong response to the president of the United States, you can make your response through calling this show. 1-800-955-1776. We'll try to get you on as we can. Here's President Biden.
Administrative schools. And many states and school districts have spent this money very well. Unfortunately, some haven't. I encourage the states and school districts that use the funding to protect our children and keep our schools open. Use it. So COVID-19 is not going to give up and accept things, you know, it's not going to go away immediately. But I'm not going to give up and accept things as they are now. Some people may call what's happening now the new normal. I call it a job not yet finished. It will get better. We're moving toward a time when COVID-19 won't disrupt our daily lives. Where COVID-19 won't be a crisis, but something to protect against and a threat. Look, we're not there yet, but we will get there. Now, the second challenge we're facing are prices. COVID-19 has created a lot of economic complications, including rapid price increases across the world economy. People see it at the gas pumps, the grocery stores, and elsewhere. So, here's what we're going to do. A critical job in making sure that the elevated prices don't become entrenched rests with the Federal Reserve, which has a dual mandate, full employment and stable prices. The Federal Reserve provided extraordinary support during the crisis for the previous year and a half. Given the strength of our economy and the pace of recent price increases, it's appropriate, as the Federal Fed Chairman Powell has indicated, to recalibrate the support that is now necessary. I respect the Fed's independence, and I've nominated five superb individuals to serve on the Federal Board of Governors, men and women from a variety of ideological perspectives. They're eminently qualified, historically diverse, and have earned bipartisan praise. And I call on the United States Senate to confirm them without any further delay. And here at the White House, and for my friends in Congress, the best thing to tackle high prices is a more productive economy with greater capacity to deliver goods and services to the American people. And a growing economy where folks have more choices and more small businesses compete and where more goods can get to market faster and cheaper. I've laid out a three-part plan to do just that. First, fix the supply chain. COVID-19 has had a global impact on the economy. When a factory shuts down in one part of the world, shipments to shops and homes and businesses all over the world are disrupted. COVID-19 has compounded that many times over. A couple of months ago, in this very room we talked, we heard dire warnings about how these supply chain problems could create a real crisis around the holidays. So we act. We brought together business and labor. And that much predicted crisis did not occur. 99% of the packages were delivered on time, and shelves were stocked. And notwithstanding the recent storms that have impacted many parts of our country, the share of goods in stock at stores is 89% now, which has barely changed from the 91% before the pandemic. I often see empty shelves being shown on television. 89% are full, which is only a few points below what it was before the pandemic. But our work's not done. My infrastructure law will supercharge your effort upgrading everything from roads and bridges to ports and airports, railways and transit, to make the economy move faster and reduce prices for families. Second thing, my Build Back Better plan will address the biggest cost of working families face every day. No other plan will do more to lower the cost of American families.
Now going back to Build Back Better is the President of the United States. The difficulty with all of this is, please note the tone, which is tremendously defensive. Now, again, if he's going to do a press conference like this, we'll see how it goes as he answers questions. The one thing that this is inevitably reminiscent of is what's known as the Jimmy Carter malaise speech, which really proclaimed Jimmy Carter just about giving up on winning re-election. And I don't mean that rationally. I think he had given up emotionally when he was basically attacking the American people for being irrationally upset for having a malaise. He never used the term malaise, but it became known as the malaise speech because he was talking about why can't we come together? Why can't we recognize all the things that we have accomplished and that we've done and that we have looking forward to us? And partially, it came from the president's defensive tone. And with the President of the United States, with Joe Biden beginning this press conference, which I suspect a lot of people are listening to and a lot of people are interested in, beginning this press conference by saying, well, we've had a lot of accomplishments, but we've had a lot of challenges. And then trying to list his accomplishments, things like the infrastructure bill, things like the number of vaccinations, pleading for more vaccinations. I think that the difficulty right now is that with all of the extreme partisanship and the disillusionment, even of some folks, there's a report on how even those columnists who have been most supportive of Joe Biden and most behind his attempts at leading the government have said that he needs a real recalibration. A reset. Now, that's not going to come in this press conference, but it may need to come in the State of the Union address, which is actually it's coming up about a month from now. So who knows what the situation is going to be with the stock market, with the economy, and above all, with dealing with the Omicron pandemic. And one of the reasons I believe that it was scheduled for the 1st of March is that's when the predictions appear to be today, and I think many people consider them credible predictions, that by the 1st of March we should definitely have turned some kind of corner in reducing the amount of infection and the rate of infection and certainly the rate of death and hospitalization with the pandemic. I think that part of what is going to be recorded by history as devastating to the Biden administration is not the pandemic of COVID. It's the pandemic of promises and the big goals that most of which were clearly impossible from the very beginning because he wasn't elected for that and because he certainly did not have the kind of congressional support that would have been necessary. We'll be right back with more on the political ramifications and the conclusion of Biden's first year and more of his press conference coming up. Washington Policy Center, WPC, is Washington State's champion for free market reforms and is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes. Its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Our state needs WPC more than ever, and we need you to be part of it. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook, and it comes to you together with an MP3 player so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audiobook and hardcover book bundle.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener's square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy. Since there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
President Biden acknowledging many of the disappointments that have been associated with this first year and blaming it all, as he just appeared to do, I think somewhat effectively, on Republicans and challenging Republicans to say, okay, what are you for? You have come to Washington with no intention other than to block everything that Biden wants to do. What are you for? And again, there is unfortunately, I don't believe, any one Republican who was set up to try to answer what Joe Biden is saying in his press conference. Because one of the things that the Republicans should answer in terms of that challenge is we are, first of all, in favor of the same kind of bipartisan government that President Biden campaigned on. We are for trying to bring the nation together, not demonizing your opponents as racists and neo-fascists and people with whom you can't even try to work. And President Biden is now taking questions. Let's listen.
I think it's extremely realistic to say to people, because let me back up. You all really know the politics in this country and your networks and others. You spend a lot of time, which I'm glad you do, polling this data, determining where what the American people's attitudes are, etc. American people overwhelmingly agree with me on prescription drugs. They overwhelmingly agree with me on the cost of education. They overwhelmingly agree with me on early education. They overwhelmingly go on the list on child care. And so we just have to make the case of what we're for and what the other team's not for. Look, we knew all along that a lot of this was going to be an uphill fight. And one of the ways to do this is to make sure we make the contrast as clear as we can. And one of the things that I think is we're going to have to do is just make the case. I don't think there's anything unrealistic about what we're asking. I'm not asking for castles in the sky. I'm asking for practical things the American people have been asking for a long time. A long time. And I think we can get it done.
You're not going to scale down any of these priorities. But so far, that strategy isn't working. You haven't been able to get some of these big legislative ticket items done.
I got two real big ones done, bigger than any president has ever gotten in the first year.
But currently, Mr. President, your spending package, voting rights legislation, they're not going anywhere. So
that's true.
Is there anything that you are confident you can get signed into law before the midterm elections?
Yes, I'm confident we can get pieces, big chunks of the Build Back Better law signed into law. And I'm confident that we can take the case to the American people that the people they should be voting for who are going to oversee whether elections, in fact, are legit or not, should not be those who are being put up by the Republicans to determine that they're going to be able to change the outcome of the election. So whether or not we can actually get an election. And by the way, I haven't given up. We haven't finished the vote yet on what's going on voting rights and the John Lewis bill and others. But so, look, this is I've been engaged a long time in public policy, and I don't know many things that have been done in one fell swoop. And so I think the most important thing to do is try to inform, not educate, inform the public of what's at stake in stark terms and let them make judgments and let them know who's for them and who's against them, who's there and who's not there, and make that the case. And that's what I'm going to be spending my time doing in this off-year election.
You mentioned Republicans and reaching out to them. Some Republicans who may be open to major changes on voting rights, for instance, like Mitt Romney, he says he never even received a phone call from this White House. Why not?
I like Mitt. Look, Mitt Romney's a straight guy. He's one of the things that we're doing, I was trying to make sure we got everybody on the same page in my party on this score. And I didn't call many Republicans at all. The fact is that I do think that Mitt is a serious guy. I think we can get things done. I think I predict to you they'll get something done on the electoral reform side of this. But rather than judge what's going to get done and not get done, all I can say is I'm going to continue to make the case why it's so important to.
Did you notice any answer about why, other than just ignoring it? He never called Mitt Romney. Did he ever call Susan Collins? Did he ever call Lisa Murkowski? Did he ever call any of the Republican leaders? And there are a lot of them, actually, including people like John Thune, who's in the leadership, who said that they are willing to talk about bipartisanship.
Will be fairly conducted, and its results will be legitimate.
Well, it all depends on whether or not were able to make the case to the American people that some of this is being set up to try to alter the outcome of the election. And it's one thing, look, maybe I'm just being too much of an optimist. Remember how we thought not that many people were going to show up to vote in the middle of a pandemic? We had the highest voter turnout in the history of the United States of America. Well, I think if, in fact, no matter how hard they make it for minorities to vote, I think you're going to see them willing to stand in line and defy the attempt to keep them from being able to vote. I think you're going to see the people we're trying to keep from being able to show up, showing up and making a sacrifice that needs to be made in order to change the law back to what it should be. But it's going to be difficult. I make no bones about that. It's going to be difficult. But we're not there yet. We've not run out of options yet, and we'll see how this moves.
And on Omicron and education, teachers are in revolt in so many places. Parents are at odds over closing schools and remote learning. You say we're not going to go back to closing schools. You said that just moments ago. Yet they're closing in some areas. What do you say to those teachers and principals and parents about school closings? And what can your administration do to help make up for learning loss for students?
First of all, I put in perspective the question you asked. Very few schools are closing. Over 95% are still open. So you all phrase the questions when people, I don't think it's deliberate on your part, but you phrase the question when anyone watches this on television. My God, there must be, all those schools must be closing. What are we going to do? 95% are still open, number one. Number two, the idea that parents don't think it's important for their children to be in school, and teachers know it as well. That's why we made sure that we had the ability to provide the funding through the Recovery Act, through the act that we...
The president is talking about schools opening. One school that has been largely open, though not displaying much of an open mind, is the University of Washington, where a professor has gotten into a world of trouble because he declines to give the university prescribed land use acknowledgement, trying to tell students before they begin any learning that, hey, you're on occupied stolen land from the native tribes that were once here. Why is he taking that stand? What does it mean? We'll talk to Professor Stuart Regis, a teaching professor of computer science and engineering at University of Washington, coming up.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden is set to hold his first formal news conference of the year today. It comes after months of criticism about too little media access. It will be Biden's first solo news conference at the White House since March. The news conference comes the same day a political Morning Consult poll says 68% of voters believe the country is on the wrong track, and 40% of voters approve of the job Biden is doing as president. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken says diplomacy will be pursued with Russia as long as possible. Blinken saying Russia could launch an attack on Ukraine on very short notice, but the United States would bring severe sanctions if a new invasion were to happen. The Secretary of State set to meet with the Russian Foreign Minister on Friday. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Michael Medved Show, it is a pleasure to welcome to this show an academic at the University of Washington. Stuart Regis is a teaching professor in the Paul G. Allen School of Computer Science and Engineering at the University of Washington. He teaches introductory programming classes. He participates in the design of undergraduate curricula. And he's involved in K-12 outreach, and he's held similar positions at Stanford and the University of Arizona in a career spanning 35 years. And by the way, it is worth noting that he has won extraordinary number of teaching awards at these institutions, including University of Washington and Stanford. Professor Regis, you're in trouble now. At least you're being claimed you're fomenting a hostile environment because of what's called your version of land acknowledgement statements. Yep. First of all, can you explain to people, because there are a lot of folks out there who probably don't know, what is a land acknowledgement statement, and when did you first when were you first invited to make that statement?
Well, this is something that they've had in Canada and Australia for a while now, and it's just starting to come to the United States. The idea that when we have an event or, you know, a course, that we kind of frame the event or the course by acknowledging the history of Native American tribes that occupied this land in the past. So it's an idea that kind of came out of the progressive, you know, ideology of what we should be doing for diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Right. And a typical land acknowledgement that is approved by the University of Washington says, "We acknowledge that the U.S. Constitution was written and signed on the homelands of the Lenape people, the indigenous people who were forced from their homelands under the threat of violence in the 18th century as a result of the European colonization of that land." Now, aside from putting this in the syllabus that describes the course you're teaching, are you expected at UW to give that kind of land acknowledgement statement verbally at the beginning of each class?
I know of some instructors here at UW who do that, who do it at the beginning of every class. That's not been recommended yet, but we had a faculty retreat at the beginning of the year, and it was opened with a land acknowledgement. You know, I think they think that all the major events should basically begin with a land acknowledgement.
Okay, so you put an acknowledgement in the syllabus, and I know it's going to be very horrifying to people to actually hear it. But at the risk of creating a toxic environment on the radio, I will read the very brief land acknowledgement that you agreed to place in the syllabus. It says, I acknowledge that by the labor theory of property, the Coast Salish people can claim historical ownership of almost none of the land currently occupied by the University of Washington.
Yes.
What was your thought here?
Well, nobody likes these things that I know, and I dislike the whole idea of framing a course kind of. I think this sends the message that progressive ideology is what's going to be in this course. So I wanted to send something that was not progressive ideology, something that was more standard Western culture. So this comes out of John Locke's Second Treatise of Government, where he said that the way that you come to own land is, say, by growing crops on the land, by mixing your labor with the land. And the UW, you know, the 350 acres for the main campus, they were just forest, you know. They had to clear all the trees and level the ground. It was not something where Native Americans were farming, for example, the kind of thing that John Locke would have said gave them ownership of the land.
Okay, so basically you're not denying that the Coast Salish people, members of various tribes in the area, lived near the land of the UW. But did they, by the way, did they actually, any evidence that they actually had villages or any sort of permanent or semi-permanent homes on land that is now occupied by the UW?
That I don't know. It may be that the original campus, which is closer to downtown, I think, may have been something where Native Americans had some kind of a village or something. I don't know that much about that history. But it's partly also just the idea that it's not a principle of government to say, well, you were in this space and therefore you somehow own all of this land, you know. I mean, how many acres does that give you ownership to? 1,000, 1,000,000, you know, a state?
Well, it also, your point also goes to a point that I've made on the air about all of this, which is that the native tribes, if you look at it, they didn't have a conception of land ownership.
That's exactly
they were
right. Yeah, yeah.
Semi-nomadic peoples.
Yeah, yeah. So, if anything, they would have said the land was owned in common. You know, that they didn't have this concept of an individual owning these particular, you know, plot of land.
Yeah, and again, your point that there were forests there generally, you can even look at photographs of them preparing for the AYP, the Alaska-Yukon-Pacific Exposition, a World's Fair, where they cleared away a lot of forests where the UW sits right now in order to make a World's Fair where they had some fairly racist displays, but that's another story.
Right.
So what happens with this? Are they claiming the administration that you're creating a toxic environment?
That was the phrase they used. They were students who complained. I think most of my students either didn't notice or didn't care, but a few students noticed and complained, and then they kind of freaked out. They were just like, oh, I mean, this has to go. You know, they deleted it from my syllabus. They apologized to my class. They set up an alternate section of the course at the same time so that students who were so deeply offended by me could take the course from someone else. I mean, all because this was so amazingly insulting, supposedly, to the class.
Are you tenured?
No, I'm a teaching faculty member.
Yeah, or is there some threat to your future, University of Washington?
Always, yeah. 2 years ago, when I was up for renewal, they did something they haven't done with any other teaching faculty member, which is they gave me just a one-year extension. They normally give a three-year extension, but they kind of put me on probation for a year because of other controversies I've been involved with.
Can you hold on for a moment? Because I would like to find out, and I bet there are a lot of people listening to us who would like to find out if there's anything they can do to support you on this. Because whether you agree or disagree with Professor Regis about this question of land acknowledgement, and I happen to agree with him, it's a very important statement, it's very important what he's doing. There are a lot of people, I think, who believe that the freedom of speech is absolutely essential to a university system. I know that there's a foundation for FIRE, which stands for Foundation for, what is it?
Individual Rights in Education.
There you go, which is a very worthwhile goal. I know that is providing you with some support for people here in the University of Washington area. And by the way, has anyone else in that you know of, and we'll get to this in just a moment when we get back with Professor Regis, about whether there are other faculty members who are showing the courage, the gumption, the integrity, to use an old-fashioned word, the integrity to actually resist some of the politically correct and, frankly, America-hating nonsense that is part of a contemporary ideology that is often imposed at universities. We will be right back with Professor Stuart Regis coming up on the Michael Medved Show.
Michael Medved.
I'm listening to everything you say.
Very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free, so I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. MichaelMedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, or call 833-654-PAIN. Relief Factor. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. TCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Washington
acknowledges the Coast Salish peoples of
this land,
the land which
touches the shared waters, all tribes and bands within the Suquamish,
Tulalip,
and Muckleshoot nations.
Okay, that was actually not a satire. That was part of a UW site, website, provided by the University of Washington, of what they see as a model land acknowledgement, I guess having different voices recited in class. And part of what they are saying is the University of Washington acknowledges the Coast Salish peoples of this land, the land which touches the shared waters of all tribes and bands within the Duwamish, the Puyallup, the Suquamish, the Tulalip, and the Muckleshoot nations. And then they add this that I wanted to ask Professor Stuart Regis about. Acknowledging the ceded and unceded land, and that's ceded, not S-E-D-D-E-D, it's ceded as in you ceded, gave it up. Acknowledging the S-C-E-D-E-D and unceded land on which we all stand could not be more important in our current historical moment.
You know,
okay, well,
one of the things about that is if you read the university webpage where they talk about that particular land acknowledgement, they say that what you're acknowledging there is that the university sits on occupied land. I mean, if it really is occupied land, let's give it back. I mean, no one seriously believes that we should give this land back to the tribes.
Well, of course, the Puyallup Nation, I'm sure, could do a better job managing the University of Washington, 350 acres. You must have talked to some people about this when they say it could not be more important in our current historical moment. I mean, we have a lot of problems right now. I mean, we have problems with the pandemic, with rising inflation, with the fact that World War III is about to break out between Russia and Ukraine. Well, those serious problems. What is it that we are supposed to do in our current historical moment to address this problem of occupied land?
Well, you know, this is part of this broader agenda of cultural change, you know, that generally is called diversity, equity, and inclusion. And the desire is that we make this our number one focus. I mean, we have a 5-year plan where we talk about all the things we're going to do in the Allen School and in the College of Engineering and at the university level to try to address diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I just think this is very dangerous. It's not what we should be focusing our attention on. And this seemed to me to be one of the weak points. There's a First Amendment issue that they, I think, have not thought through very carefully, that if they encourage you to make a land acknowledgement, they can't require you to make it a progressive land acknowledgement. They can't say the conservative version is banned, but the progressive one is okay.
That's a very, very interesting and important point. Where does this stand right now? Are you in the upcoming syllabus being allowed to include your land acknowledgement?
Well, they took mine away, you know, and set up this alternate class. I was pretty sure there was a First Amendment issue here because the University of Washington is a state school, so it has to obey the First Amendment. So, you know, any restrictions on speech have to be content neutral. I thought that was true, and I was very pleased that this group, FIRE, they have a legal defense fund, that they agreed, and they wrote to the university, put out a press release. So they're pressuring the university to reverse this policy. And we'll see what the university does. I think the university is going to ignore them, you know, but I think it's great to have FIRE on my side, and I don't know what a next step might be. I mean, we're waiting to see what they say. But, you know, I plan to use this again in the spring, you know, when I teach, and I don't know what the university will do if I do that. You know, they freaked out when I did it this quarter.
Well, then, by the way, let me mention, back in 2012, which is not that long ago, you won the Distinguished Teaching Award, which is the highest award given by the University of Washington for teaching.
Yep.
Now is that invalidated because of your heinous refusal to give the kind of, quote, land acknowledgement that they want?
Well, they haven't taken it back yet, but the Student Senate has spent a lot of time denouncing me. They apparently last week spent their whole agenda time, I mean their whole meeting time, talking about a resolution to try, you know, to try to counter my syllabus. You know, the statement I had on my syllabus.
Now, do you teach classes on programming, right? And you
That's
teach
right.
classes on computer science.
Yep.
Is there any way that you're supposed to bring in the treatment of Native Americans 200 years ago? Or is there some way you're supposed to incorporate that into teaching about computer science?
Well, as part of this diversity, equity, and inclusion push, they've said that we should try to be incorporating issues of justice in our courses. But then, you know, one of the things our director said is that my version of the land acknowledgement has nothing to do with computer science, so it doesn't belong on the syllabus. But the other version, you know, she thinks should be on the syllabus.
Wait, so, again, you acknowledge, I'm sure, in your classes all of the tremendous contributions of the Native American nations to the development of computer science.
Sure. Well, and it's we have a very complicated relationship, you know, a complicated history with lots of, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to whitewash and say, you know, we've had wonderful relations with Native Americans all of this time. It's, you know, but this was really a way for me to see whether it was possible to say something different. And I didn't think it was insulting to kind of say that there's a different way of looking at land and who owns it.
Right. I mean, and again, I think just it's you're doing a public service by asking people to acknowledge John Locke's labor theory of property and the whole idea that property involves some involvement of work on that property and of human ownership. Speaking of human ownership, do some of your colleagues at the university suggest that we should be paying rent, the taxpayers of the state of Washington, that we should be paying additional rent to the Native nations who at once inhabited part of the land on which the university now sits?
Well, the most absurd thing is that everybody knows that these things are useless, that we're not really committing to anything. You know, it's just... What, I don't know what it means to acknowledge. I've said that these things have almost the status of a prayer, you know, and a lot of times people say a prayer without really meaning to change their lives very much.
Yeah. What about your colleagues? Have you had some expressions of sympathy or support behind closed doors from some other members of the faculty?
There are a small number of faculty who are, you know, very supportive of what I'm doing. Most people tend to say, well, I think these land acknowledgments are stupid, but I think you're being rude. That's kind of the most common thing I've heard. And then there's a small number of people who want me fired over it.
Well, what I would like to do is, Jeremy, let's put up the information on FIRE, which is actually trying to represent, I think, Professor Regis's interest in standing up to all of this. That the difficulty to me is it seems that the core goal of this land acknowledgement movement, which is sweeping the country, is very similar to the core goal of so-called critical race theory, which is to make young people coming into American society feel guilty and regretful about the way that people built these institutions that are right now benefiting them.
Yes, and to say this is a course in which progressive values are going to be dominant. This is a course where, you know, we agree, as you say, with kind of the whole critical view of the United States and American society. It's a patriarchy. We're systemically racist, etc. We stole the land from the Native Americans. It's all part of a kind of a progressive campaign that I've called the equity agenda. They're trying to change the culture. They're trying to change the way people view the United States.
No, exactly right. I have been speaking considerably about the struggle between guilt and gratitude. And gratitude is actually a characteristic that can improve character and improve institutions. Guilt, not so much. Where this goes next, it seems to me, have you been able to continue teaching classes without finding your class time taken up with these discussions, just quickly?
Yeah, I've been able to continue teaching.
Well, congratulations for the courage and the pertinacity and the determination that you display. That is Professor Stuart Regis of the University of Washington. Long may he serve, and find out about his case and the way you can support it, because it deserves support, at michaelmedved.com in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled, and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol free too. It's Vine to Bar Chocolate. Order some today at vinetobar.com. That's VINETOBAR.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's Vine to Bar. Vine to Bar Chocolate. Visit us at vinetobar.com.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. An increasing number of things are falling apart daily. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, and that includes food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take this moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. My Patriot Supply has earned over 47,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious food kits average 2,000 calories per day and last up to 25 years in storage, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a food kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for the news to tell you something bad happened again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.